The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
On books that defeated you, Kieran Garrity says Catch 22 defeated him twice, although his late dad read it three times. And Maura Jones says, just giving up on 100-year-old man who climbed out the window. I can't say to you, Maura, go back to it. It's worth it because I give up on it too. Now, have you ever thought about changing your job or giving up a safe, regular and possibly pensionable income to follow your passion? Well, I'm joined now by two women who did just that, Sinead Deegan and Maria Aslimoska. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning, John.
And we get to you in a minute, Sinead. But Maria, if I start with you, you grew up in Macedonia. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I was born and bred in Macedonia. I actually lived there until I was 10. Then the circumstances were that my father got a job somewhere else. So we moved to Serbia, where I completed my primary school. And afterwards, I went to Croatia, where I completed my high school. After high school, I had been traveling for a while. And then for the last 8 years, I have been here in Ireland.
You trained to be a nurse.
And I trained to be a nurse.
Whereabouts?
This was in Croatia. Believe it or not, in the Balkans, the area where all these countries are, there is a system where you can train to become a nurse from the age of 14 until you're 18. You can either go into a more general kind of education.
But the education system is worked in such a way that at a very early age, you get into what you want to do.
Yeah. There is few educations like that. You can go either in IT or you can be a lab assistant or a nurse, that you can go into a very specific area from such an early age. Yes.
And did you really, really want to be a nurse?
I have to admit it was more my mother's idea. So I can't say that since the age of 14 I thought this was my life. In fact, I always knew I had something creative inside of me that wanted to get to be heard and to be said. And during these 4 years that I was doing the nursing, I would have done a lot of outside activities which were nothing to do with nursing, and possibly this is where it has led me to where I am today.
Yeah, keeping your options open, in other words. But
yes.
When you're talking about the nursing, at the tender age of 15, you were dealing with dying patients.
Yes, I mean, I have to say, when you do nursing, I think, first of all, you kind of grow up a little bit more, and maybe at 15 it's not such a bad idea because you're seeing life from such a serious point of view. But again, it's probably not the wisest time to be deciding your life career when you're 15, because you haven't really discovered who you are yet, which happened to me. So I was into nursing, really enjoying it. In fact, I think it's one of probably the most noble careers you could ever have, helping others, and the feedback and the rewards you get from helping people. It's amazing. So I would recommend it highly.
Wholeheartedly. Now, that's not, as you say, how you ended up. But first of all, you met a man. You were at a wedding in England, I believe.
Yes.
And you met an Irish man.
Yes, a lovely Irish man.
I see. What's his name?
His name is Brendan.
Brendan, okay. You met him and you decided to take yourself off to Ireland?
Well, it was, yes, since Dublin is home for him, it was a kind of a normal step to try to come here to Ireland and to be together. And since I had this nursing degree in my pocket and I was 19, I decided this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to come to Ireland and be a nurse and be with the men I love.
And at what point then did you decide nursing isn't for me? Was Brendan in on your decision?
Brendan is a very supportive person. He likes to go along with what you think you should be doing. When I was working as a nurse, I had one of my residents. I worked in a nursing home in Sandymount, and she tells me, Mary, she used to call me, if I had my life all over again, I'd do it differently. And she's 92, and these are basically her last words to me. And as it happened afterwards, Brendan, my then boyfriend, now husband, we went for a holiday and had a chat over a sandwich, saying, imagine living with a regret like that, all your life doing things that you don't think you should have been doing. And very wisely, he says, but you're 24 and you're not 92. You can still do what you want to do. And this is the point where he says, what do you want to do? So coming from Macedonia, it's a very different mindset, because back at home, people kind of go into one career and then they kind of try to grow it in the same area. And the longer you stay, the better, the more benefits you have. People don't think, let's go and change the career and the lifestyle and everything. It's here, this is one thing I've learned about the Irish, which I find very refreshing and wonderful, is that if you really believe you can do something and you want to do it and you're doing it with your whole heart, you will succeed and you can. And
what did you decide to do?
So the idea of expressing my dream, which was at that point to be a perfumer, was something very abstract. And to all the people that know me, they know I love perfume, but I've never taken a serious actions to actually really be a perfumer. So up until that point, and I wouldn't have even known where to start. So what happened next was Brendan says, why don't we see how you can become a perfumer? And just like that, over a sandwich, somewhere in France on a holiday, I decided actually I'm not 92, I'm 24 and I can do this.
You're going to go for it.
I'm going to go for it.
And you ended up training where?
So I ended up training in the Grasse Institute of Perfumery, which is in the south of France, in Grasse, which is the historic city of where perfume comes from.
And it was difficult. It doesn't take anyone, does it? No.
No. They take only 12 people from all over the world each year. And it's 3 days of testings that you have to pass. And you have to know that for every one person that I get in, about 20 don't. So when I rang the school and I said, I have done nursing, I also had been doing a business management degree here in Ireland as part-time, which I finished. I said, I have business management, and the director of the school in France told me very openly, by the sound of it, you don't have any chance. So again, you start from the beginning. You think again, there is no chance I can do this. Mm. But there is that rule in life: if you don't buy the lotto ticket, you can't be waiting for the lottery to come to
if
your way.
If you're not
way.
In, you can't win.
Yes, and so
you did the aptitude tests.
I decided I will go at least for the testing, at least show up and see this place and see the people, and just maybe this was my last chance. So I did there. I did the 3 days of testings, and as it turned out, on the 1st of October, when they sent their acceptance emails, I couldn't open it, and Brendan just I gave him the laptop and said, "Now you do that. You read it and tell me what it is." And he very sweetly just turned the laptop and showed me this big congratulations on the screen.
Great.
And as much as it sounded as the most amazing moment in my life, I think it was actually also the hardest, because I was working as a nurse here. You have a very set life. You have
good income.
Yes, good income. You have your
security,
your holidays, and you know you can arrange your working days and your free days, and you're used to a certain lifestyle.
Sure.
Which meant at this point, are you actually brave enough to say, I'm going to stop all of this and I'm going to take a few steps back and become a student?
Yes, so you were, though, brave enough to take that decision, and you were a student for a year in the training in Grasse in France.
Yes.
And you got through it with flying colours.
Yes, it was probably one of the most amazing years in my life. I didn't even understand until I was there how hungry I was for the knowledge. It was something I didn't know I had inside of me, because I was there and I was completely engrossed. And this is not something, it's one day or one week.
Sure.
It was as we were getting along the course, I was even more and more hungry. And finally, a few times I would live in this pink bubble world where I just couldn't believe that I was so lucky to be there.
Sure. On foot of the training, you decided to set up a shop selling perfumes in the Westbury Mall.
Yes, this was my way of bringing the perfume world from France back back here to Ireland.
Describe it to us.
Well, it's the truth is that the perfume industry here in Ireland is very small, is if almost non-existent. So being a trained perfumer, a classically trained perfumer, there is not a lot of working opportunities here. So me thinking, what can I do to bring this world of mine back here in Dublin, and how can I incorporate it? So finally, the idea was, okay, how about I open almost like a gallery of scent, a shop, but it's more like a gallery where I pick and choose some of the best small niche perfume brands
that aren't on sale anywhere else.
That are not on sale anywhere else, that will offer something completely
different
and perhaps something completely beautiful to the customers.
We'll find out how's it going in a minute, but I want to bring Sinead Deegan in here. Sinead, thank you for waiting patiently on the line.
No problem at all.
Sinead, tell us about the job, the day job that you decided to pack in, and why did you decide to do so?
I was marketing director for an American technology company, and I decided to pack it in because I got a dog and had no place to put him during the day. No, seriously, I would have spent a lot of time. It was an American company based in New York, so would have spent a lot of time over there and saw all the dog-related services that were on offer. And I did have a dog, a beagle, that I just didn't have the services available. I didn't want to leave the dog at home every day on his own when I was going to work or going traveling. So came up with the idea for Mud Ugly in about 2005 and opened up a shop in 2006.
And what is Mud Ugly?
Mud Ugly, it's kind of a, I guess, little piece of heaven, we call it, for dogs and cats and their owners. We provide doggy daycare, dog grooming, and pet accessories. And we have two stores in Dublin 2 and Dublin 6. And we also do training for groomers, for people who want to be groomers.
And Sinead, was it a big decision to pack in what was a secure job? And I believe the company was sold shortly after you left it. Was it a very difficult decision for you?
It wasn't. I was done with that part of my life. I'd always said I wanted to work for myself, and I'd made the decision to leave. And because I was traveling 5 days a week, I mean, it was an international marketing director. It was a great job, but I wanted something different. So the decision to leave wasn't that difficult, no. And I was passionate then about what we created or what the idea behind what Mud Ugly was. So despite the bank's manager kind of knowing what my salary was beforehand, going, "You're giving up that job? Are you crazy?" I knew it would work. I knew that there was a space there for it. So,
and it's been a success. 2006, you said it opened up.
Yeah. So we're still going strong.
I'm intrigued by the name Mud Ugly. It doesn't sound like the most attractive of creches. Why the name Mud Ugly?
Well, it's ironic. It's very tongue in cheek. The brand is like sort of a fun, friendly brand, and Mud Ugly. We take your mutts. They're not. None of them are ugly. But we make them looking beautiful and happy. And it's just very. It's an ironic brand.
And do you get to bring your dog to work with you now? Is he one of the residents of the creche?
I'm currently got three children, so we're currently in between dogs. But yeah, the dogs used to come to work every day. So I'm actually on maternity leave at the moment. So, the dog gets to come to work every day.
Good. And it's dogs and cats as well, Sinead?
Yes, dogs and cats.
And how's it going?
It's going great. We look after 20 dogs full time. In daycare, it's like it's in the centre of Ranelagh. There's a massive waiting list to get into daycare, and we groom perhaps up to 30 dogs a day between the two shops. It's busy, especially this time of the year when all the dogs have got long coats and are very hot and need to get summer haircuts.
Great. And is it the only such facility in Ireland, or are there a few of them now?
There is a few in business parks, but it would be the only such facility on the main street or in neighbourhood in Ireland that combines all of the services together. The competitors would be, say, the likes of Maxi Zoo or Pet World, the large ones that you find out in the retail parks.
So the way it works is, if I want to go to work and I want my dog looked after, I leave it off in Mud Ugly. Is that it?
Correct. Yeah, from half eight to half six.
And what's the daily rate?
It's a monthly rate, so it's €250 a month.
And people are prepared to pay that money to have their dogs minded during the day.
Yeah, and we have a waiting list, and we have people trying to bump their way up the waiting list by pulling in favours and asking friends to call me, friends of friends of friends.
Oh, I see, to exert some influence.
Yeah.
And do you bring the dogs for a walk then?
The dogs get brought for a walk. They get sort of socialised if they're puppies. There's a paddling pool at the back at the moment because it's very hot. There's like a play zone. Yeah, they have great fun.
I'm just thinking that's $3,000 a year to mind your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you want to really like your dog and doing a good job, I suppose.
Well, the downside, other side is if you need to think it through. If you're going to be an animal owner, like that's what I didn't do. I got a dog and I was traveling all the time and would come home to a house that had been ripped to shreds or got holes dug in the garden or neighbors complaining about a dog barking. So if you're going to own an animal, you definitely need to think through what's involved and the costs involved.
You do indeed. And have you any advice, Sinead? You're obviously delighted you made the career move. And do you have any regrets? What would your advice be to others who might be so tempted?
No regrets. My advice would be if work out how much you think it's going to cost and then kind of double it. I had a second stream of income. I used to lecture in advertising and marketing in the evenings to fund me for the first few years until it started to make money. So definitely consider that. Don't think that you're going to be able to pay yourself a salary from day one. And the second thing then would be being a woman. Like, luckily, I had all my stamps paid and stuff. I ended up having 3 children in quick succession. Make sure that your stamps are paid, because otherwise, being self-employed, and if you haven't got your stamps up to date, you're not entitled to any maternity leave or any maternity benefits. So just things that you don't think of.
Good practical advice for people who are thinking of making the switch. And well, Sinead, thank you for joining us this morning, and good luck with Mutt-Ugly. And have you a baby imminent, or have you just had number 3?
No, just had Polly is 6 months, and I have 2 boys as well, and all running around the place.
So your hands are really full.
Yes.
And back to you, Maria. Tell us about the name of the shop and how's it going?
The name of the shop is Perfumeria. It's in the Westbury Mall, and we've had a fantastic start. It's been very encouraging to see that people are not afraid to actually just embrace all of these new brands. So we have been very lucky so far.
Good.
That the response has been great.
Great. And we've a nice text in from someone here. It says, greetings to Maria, who nursed my mother in the nursing home. She could play the piano and enthralled my mother at Easter with descriptions of Fabergé Easter eggs. Great to hear the next episode in her adventures. Do you remember?
Oh, yes. That's a lovely surprise.
So that was in your previous career. And what would you say to people who are thinking like you of taking that leap and going into business by themselves? What would your advice be?
I would say do it. It's really, I think the rewards, I would agree with Sinead, you can't pay yourself from day one. So there are certain sacrifices you have to take. But afterwards, the other side of it is that you get the full satisfaction that you're doing something on your own. So this cannot be bought and this cannot be paid.
It's lovely. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, Maria Aslimaska, and she runs that perfume shop in the Westbury Mall. That's all we have time for today. On sound, Padraig Carney. Our broadcasting coordinator was Denise Davies, and today's producer was our series producer, Margaret Curley. Sean is up next. We're back in the morning at 9. Till then, slán.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.